By the way, what time is it? You know, a preacher over in North Carolina asked that question one Sunday. And one woman spoke out and said, it's 5 minutes till 10. And another woman sitting on this side of the church said, no, it isn't. It's 3 minutes till 10. And they had a fight and split the church over 2 minutes. You know, most church splits are over foolish, insignificant things like that. What time is it? We're going to find out. Open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. Now, you've looked at your watch. Don't look at it anymore now, folks, because I know what time it is. I knew before I asked. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1. I shall read down through verse number 8. I want you to notice the word time that's used no less than 29 times in my reading today. Stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of God's Word. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, after we pray. Father, we truly thank Thee today for the opportunity on the last Sunday, the last Lord's Day of this marvelous year that You've given us. Through the tribulations, through the trials, through the heartaches, through the disappointments, we have come out victorious in Christ Jesus. I pray that You would help us with Paul, forgetting those things which are behind. We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Bless this reading of Your Word, this message to Your honor, to Your glory, and may we know what time it really is. In Jesus' name we ask it. With thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. The wise Solomon writes, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Thank you, and you may be seated. How many of you this morning have already asked somebody else or have been asked, what time is it? Most everybody has asked that question this morning. The most frequently asked question perhaps in all the world is that simple question, what time is it? The world revolves about the clock. Every country, every continent, every civilization has been keenly aware of the importance of time. Whether it be through an hourglass, a clock, a watch, a sundial, every generation in every civilization has been concerned about the time. Last year, or the earlier part of this year, on our Mission Emphasis Sunday, the missionaries gave us a clock. It's the most unusual clock that I'd ever seen. It's a clock that tells what time it is in all 24 time zones of the world. I can look at that clock and in one glance tell you what time it is in any of the 24 time zones. By the way, in all 24 time zones, it's later than you think. The hour of the return of our Lord Jesus, the end of this present church age, is at hand. It is later than you think. This is a fascinating text. It runs the gamut of every human emotion and makes it very clear that there's a time to do and a time not to do. All of the emotions, all of the experiences known to humankind are touched upon in 8 simple verses from the wise Solomon. Look again at verse number 1. He says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." Everything you and I do is governed by the clock and regulated by time. There's a cycle. We get up by the clock. We eat breakfast by the clock. We get dressed by the clock. We go to school or to work by the clock. We come back home by the clock. Some of us are clock watchers. I never saw a man worth his salt that was a clock watcher. Just had to get to work just right on time, not a minute early, and never stay a minute late. He's got a problem. That's just beside the point. We go to bed, we eat supper by the clock. We go to bed by the clock. We get up by the clock. We go to work by the clock. It's an unending cycle. We're governed by the clock. Personally, I am so time conscious that I have 15 clocks in my study at home. 15, count them. 15. By the way, the latest one was a Christmas gift that I don't even have to look at. It tells me what time it is. Just says, "Mr. Barber, it's 2 a.m. Go back to sleep." No. But it does say 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., whatever. Tells me. I don't even have to look at it. Isn't that marvelous? And throughout the other parts of the house, there are 17 or 18 other clocks. I just love clocks. I collect clocks. And I'm conscious of the time. Every moment of every day, I know exactly where I'm going to be, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. I am very conscious of the time. Because I read a little poem one time that went like this: "The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. So live, love, toil with will. Put not faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still." Did you know that while I quoted you that poem, 39 people somewhere died in this nation? Just while I quoted that 4-6 line poem, 39 people. Every hour, 5,417 people go out into eternity to meet God. You could have been among them. You will be sooner or later. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready for the hour of death? The casket that will contain your remains may already have been rolled out into the front of the funeral home. The people who will carry your body to its final resting place may be in this congregation this morning. You see, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. What time is it? I'm going to answer that question in 4 installments. Number 1, it is time to wake up and find out what's going on around you. You know, Satan is out to blind every person in the world. He blinds the unsaved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now watch this. Satan blinds the mind of the unbeliever so that the light of Christ, the light of redemption, the light of hope, cannot come into his mind and heart so that he can be saved. But Satan doesn't stop there. He blinds also, pulls the wool over, if you please, the eyes of Christians to keep us from discerning the times. You see, the devil doesn't want us to know what time it is. The devil doesn't want us to know that the day is far spent, the night is coming. The devil doesn't want us to know that soon, at any moment, the trumpet could sound, Jesus could descend, the dead raised from their graves, the living translated to me. The devil doesn't want us to know that. He deadens the sensitivity of the believer. He stupefies the brain of the believer. He dulls the mind of the believer. He dims the vision of the believer. He darkens the understanding. He distorts the comprehension. He deceives us into believing that all is well. Everybody's happy. Things are going well. The budget crisis will soon be settled. And everything will be well. I ask you a question this morning or two. Is all well when 13 teenagers commit suicide in America every day? Is it well? Is all well if one out of every four marriages are ending in divorce courts? Is all well when drug abuse, alcoholism, venereal diseases, AIDS, and all the rest are out of control in America today? Don't listen to the lie of the devil. All is not well. The Bible says the wicked shall deceive and be deceived. And that at the end time, men would turn away from... Listen, there's a great turning away from God and the truth in the world today. A turning to apostasy, unbelief. There's a great falling away among God's people, a dissatisfaction among the people of God. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. If the devil could get you dissatisfied this morning and say to you, well, so don't listen to Satan. All is not well in this world. It is a cruel, chaotic, mixed up, materialistic, hell-bound world. And you and I are the only ones who can make the difference. Turn to Romans chapter 13 with me, please. I ask the question, what time is it? The first installation, the first part of the answer. It is time to wake up and find out what's going on around you in the world of 1995 and the beginning of 1996. The book of Romans, please. Chapter number 13. Look at verse 11. Paul says, and that knowing the time, that is knowing the times in which we live, the lateness of the hour, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. That is the salvation of the body, the redemption of the body is nearer than when we got our souls saved. Look at verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. What day? The day of the appearing of Jesus Christ. The day of the coming of our Lord. The day of the end of this age. The day of the end of the dispensation of grace, the opportunity to be saved. The day is at hand. Now watch this. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know what Paul is saying? It is time that we wake up and find out what's going on around us in the world. It's time that we knew the night is far spent and the day of the coming of Christ is at hand. There's no time for bickering. There's no time for criticism. There's no time for falling out. There's no time for dissension. There's time for unity and healing and oneness and togetherness. It's time that we as Christians learn that the devil is trying to destroy every Christian testimony and every church that he possibly can. So Paul will say in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with unfruitful darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. He says there in verse 12, cast off. There's something to cast off. Then he says, let us put on. There's something to put on. Ephesians 6:13 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, let us put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. which is the Word of God. I say, what time is it? It is time to awaken out of our sleep, our stupefying sleep that Satan has rocked us into, made us think everything is well, all is going to be peace and happiness and joy. It's time to awake out of our sleep to see what's going on in the world around us. Number two, what time is it? It is time to seek the Lord while He is near. A lot of people make up their mind, well, I'm going to get saved at the midnight hour, and they die about 10:30. Don't let it happen to you. If you're here this morning and you know not Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never made that step, that decision of saying, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess my sins. I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me. I want to trust Him as my Savior. I want to be saved. I trust that you'll do that today because it is time to seek the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says, Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground. Now watch it, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. And I recommend that you seek Him with your whole heart, not half-heartedly. Not just when trouble comes. You know, a lot of people get awful religious on the way to the cemetery. You ever notice that? I'm talking about now, while you're healthy and well and happy and have tomorrow and a bright future. It's time to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Psalm 119 and verse 2 says, Blessed are they that keep His testimonies now. And watch this, and they that seek Him with the whole heart. Young people, listen to me. Don't give Christ half of your life. Give Him all of your life. Don't give Him half of your heart. Give Him all of your heart. Don't say, I'm going to wait until I'm 40 years old to start living for God. Number one, you may not make it to 40. The way some of you are going, you're not going to make it to 20. Give Him your heart today. Seek Him with your whole heart now. I recommend you not only seek Him with your whole heart, but I recommend you seek Him before all else. Matthew 6:23 says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added. What things? Food, clothing, and shelter. Let me ask you a question. This is the last day of 1995. Every business in America will take inventory today or yesterday or sometime before January 1. They'll decide their gains and their losses. They will decide which of their books need to be balanced. You know, a man can't stay in business unless he's making profit. So they take inventory to see what they did in 95. I want to ask you a question. What if you take inventory of your life today? What about the number of verses of Scripture that you've read this year? You remember you started out January 1, 1994, and you said, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. Well, you got over about to Leviticus, and things got a little boring. Hello. And you said, well, I'll read that tomorrow. And then tomorrow came and you said, well, I'll... About the number of people you've testified witness to for Christ. Have you taken inventory? What about your stewardship? Just suppose that God just held your stewardship record every Sunday from the first Sunday of January through today. Your tithing and giving record was exposed to the whole world. Where would you... Would you be a little bit embarrassed about it? I'll tell you what, it's still December the 31st, and you have time to balance your books today. If you have to go borrow the money this afternoon, if you haven't balanced your stewardship books, you ought to do it before the midnight hour tonight. Because tomorrow starts a new year. It'll be too late to balance the books of 95. I said, seek Him before all else. I said, seek Him now, while He may be found. Isaiah 55:6 says, Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. You know what that says to me? There will be a time when you will not be able to find opportunity. Now, God's not going to get lost. But God will one day be hidden away from your view. And you will not be able to find Him. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. What time is it? It's time to wake up and see what's going on in our world. What time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. What time is it? It is time, in the third place, to reckon with the brevity of your own life. Oh, you're saying, but Pastor, I just went to the doctor 2 weeks ago and he gave me a clean bill of health. You know, I've buried a lot of people like that 5 days later, 3 days later, 2 weeks later. I'm not trying to frighten you. I hope the doctor did give you a clean bill of health, but that doesn't mean anything. You can be as sound, I started to say as sound as a dollar, but that wouldn't be very sound. But you can be just as sound can be. And like that, one heartbeat between you and all eternity. Psalm 89, verses 47 and 48. Listen to these words. You haven't read these probably in some time. You haven't heard them read. Listen to what they say. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? The complement to that is Hebrews 9:27 that I quoted a moment ago. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. And by the way, it's not all over at death. After this, the judgment. In 34 years of pastoring this church, I have led scores of, I don't know how many families I've led to the cemetery. That's one of the most difficult jobs that a pastor has. There's some other difficult things that happen to a pastor, but one of the most difficult things is to take a precious little family to yonder cemetery, but always leave them with hope. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. I'm talking to you about realities now. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a fairyland you're living in. It's a real world, and you and you and you and me and all of us are under the sentence of death. It is appointed unto men once to die. James says in his fourth chapter, verse 14, whereas ye shall not know what shall be on the morrow. How many have already said around, tomorrow I'm going to get all the family together. I'm going to go on a trip. Wait a minute. James says, listen, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. It's like, and it's all over. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Job said in chapter 7 at verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Now, if you don't know anything about cotton mill and weaver's shuttle, you don't have any idea what he meant by that. But let me tell you, I used to work in a cotton mill. I stopped at a service station coming back from the trip, and the sign on the men's room said, for employees only. I said to the man, that's one reason I stopped. I had to fill up with gas and do some other things. So he said, he took a long look at me and said, well, you look like you've worked somewhere in your life. Go ahead and use it. You're an employee. So I did. But I used to work in the mill, the cotton mill. I was in the shipping department. We shipped pillowcases and sheets from all over the world, from Dan River Mills in Danville, Virginia. But once in a while, I had to go through the weave room. My soul, you talk about days of slavery. How many of you have ever been in a weave room? Anybody ever been in a weave room? There's one man back there. Robert and I, the only two that have been privileged to get into a weave room. But let me tell you, the people stand there like this for 8 solid hours. And there's a little thing going back so fast. I mean, and that's the shuttle. It picks up a thread over here and picks up a thread over there and puts them together and comes out and you've got a blouse or a shirt or a sheet to sleep on or a pillowcase to rest your head on. And it all happens so fast. Where do you suppose Job got that? Do you think there were any cotton mills in Job? That's the first book in the Bible to be written. What do you know about a weaver's shuttle? Holy Spirit of God said, Job, one of these days there'll be a weaver's shuttle and it'll go so fast people can't even see it. Tell them that their life is going to go just like that. Well, that's as good an explanation as I know about. Holy Spirit had to tell him. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I don't think Job knew anything about a weaver's shuttle or a weave room or a weaving cloth like we know about it in the modern times. But anyway, he says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. What time is it? It is time for you to wake up and know what's going on around you. It is time for you to see how brief life is. It is time to repent of your sins and get right with God. Listen to what Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 say. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. In Luke 13, 1, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then Paul, on Mars Hill, in that great address to the Athenians, said, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because, do you know what the rest of it says? He hath appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying there are 3 days. Number one, there was a day of ignorance when men didn't know about God and didn't know about Christ and didn't know about the Bible and didn't know about the salvation that God gives. And Paul says the times of this ignorance God winked at. God overlooked it. But wait. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. First day is a day of ignorance. Men did not know. Second day is a day of repentance. Now, God commandeth. God doesn't make recommendations. God doesn't make suggestions. God makes commandments. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because the third day is coming. He hath appointed a day in which he shall judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, that is, by Jesus Christ. A day of ignorance, God overlooked it. A day of repentance, right now, repent. Why? Because there's a third day, and that's the day of judgment. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.